You're tuned into Totally Unrelated. Enjoy.
So could someone please bring me one mic stand? And could you also fix it so that it's not feeding back like it is right now? That would be great too. Also, what's that? Oh, there it is over there. Great. That's what I meant to ask for was like, but don't put the mic in it and make me wonder where it is.
And we're back. Thanks for tuning in to Totally Unrelated. New episode here. If your host, I'm Adrian Cosby. Sorry about last week. We are on like going on 9 days since the last episode, maybe more. Maybe you know better than me. But it's Monday morning, and it was a big week last week. Not that I did anything major, but it was a big week. It seemed like it took forever. I've been off of comedy for about 2 weeks, except for last Thursday. I got called into the Funny Bone on like 20 minutes notice to do a feature spot for Jeff Dye. That was nice. After that, I went in to go see Planet of the Apes. And what a great movie, the new one. It's a little bit strange because there's something missing from the whole storyline. I'm not exactly sure what why I'm rooting for the apes other than their survival, or why I'm rooting against the humans other than the ape survival. But there's a couple points in the story, a couple like the side stories and the way they have you attached to the characters. Whew, it was deep. Had me thinking a lot. And I think there's some cultural references to today's political climate and maybe some cultural references to our nation's historic views on race or class or war or who knows. But I give it a highly recommend, and especially if you're into the series, which if you hear me walking around, I just made coffee. I'm doing a walk cast. I got the headsets on. I'm just doing a walk through the house cast. I'm going to sit down in my leather chair. It's fake leather, let's be honest. My recliner, can you hear it reclining? That was me. I got the news on Wednesday that I was going to be on Doug Loves Movies. If you know who Doug Benson is, he's probably most famous for being the number one pot comic in America. Pot, P-O-T, marijuana comic. He is a star of his own movie, documentary about himself called Super High Me. The High Court with Doug Benson on Comedy Central earlier this summer. Doug Benson interruption. What else? Getting Doug with High. Countless other movies and appearances on television. He is an amazing dude. I met him last year in Orlando. And if you remember that episode, which I barely remember that episode, but I went to Florida. And if you go back a few episodes before Paid in Full. Paid in Full is sort of the recap of that whole story. But I had a rough trip down to Florida. I was there for a couple weeks. And Doug Benson, getting to hang out with Doug was the highlight of that whole experience. He wasn't on any of the shows I was doing, but he happened to be doing an episode of Doug Loves Movies at the Orlando Improv, where I was performing later that night with Benji Brown, who was a Florida comic. And let's just say I was not that audience's cup of tea all weekend. There was a couple shows that were better than others, but for the most part, I'd have to say they were some of the least fun shows I've ever performed in. And I know you're like, oh, but Adrian, you're the best comic around. You never have a bad set. And I'm just like, it's even hard for me to say, but it's just not true. Sometimes I do. And also sometimes the audience is there specifically to see one type of comedy, and maybe I don't deliver that type of comedy. And I think that's what happened this week, or that week. The MC was a local guy. His name is Tight Mike. And Benji Brown is like from Miami, I think. They're very, I don't even like to use the word urban, but there's very much more of a deaf comedy jam kind of environment. And that is not really what I do. Now, back to the Doug Loves Movies. When I was there on Friday, I was walking out of the showroom and I was like, oh man, that was a rough set. And as I was walking by the bar, I saw Doug Benson sitting with Sean Jordan, who's a comic, lives in LA, I think he's from North Dakota. And I was like, holy shit, Doug Benson. He was like, hey, man, what's going on? So we chopped it up, talked, had a few drinks, and hung out the rest of the night. And then the next day, I went and watched Doug Loves Movies. We hung out after the show. And after his show, Doug Loves Movies, I had to stay at the improv and wait for my show to start because it was like an hour later. But we met up after the show. We watched the UFC at a Hooters, me and Sean and the guy who plays Mark Wahlberg on the show. Go check out Doug Loves Movies when my episode comes out. If you're not already a fan, I'll post links to it when it happens. It should be up, I'm guessing, sometime this week. But he was just such a super cool dude, him and Sean and Mark. They all treated me like an equal, even though clearly I'm way below them on the spectrum of professional comedians, but we are all bound by the same union of telling jokes to clear up our misery. I assume, I don't know if that's the union, but I sent him a message about 2 months ago when I saw that he was going to be coming into Columbus. It might have been a month ago, saying, hey, if you need a seat, I'll be there. And he sent me a message last week, a couple days before. He said, I think it was on Thursday, he's like, hey, if you're going to be around, I got a seat for you. And I was fully expecting it to get replaced by somebody more famous than me the entire time, like get bumped, basically. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee. Very hot. But it didn't happen. I showed up yesterday, and I met Jeff Dye on Thursday, who is a very funny comic, last comic standing, several television shows that I have not seen, but we went through his IMDb and movies. Super nice guy, super, I would say between him and Mark Normand, it would be a tie. In fact, I'd like to have some sort of a contest to see who the most sought-after comedian is by women. Now, I'm going to say that Jeff Dye is probably winning that race hands down. But it's almost more well-known. He kind of puts it out there that he's living La Vida Loca, whereas Mark Normand doesn't really... He does on his podcast. He does talk about some of the things in it, in his past. He's got a girlfriend now. But the women that you see coming up to them after shows, making themselves available, that's sort of the situation. But Jeff Dye is him a ladies' man. Let's just leave it at that. But he was on the show. Jeff Tate, who is Cincinnati born. I don't know if he was born in Cincinnati, but I met him when I first started doing comedy. He was in Cincinnati, had been to LA and back several times. He's been doing comedy longer than I can think about. And probably one of my favorite comedians that I've ever got to see perform live a number of times. He's a different kind of a dude. But and the thing about Jeff is he's kind of grizzly, kind of a grizzled dude, and I always get the impression that he can't stand me. But I kind of also get the impression that he can't stand most people. But he does pleasantly seem to tolerate me, which I'll take. if you know anything about me, my story is that everybody hates me anyway. So maybe I'm just dealing with that. But I had such a good time yesterday on the show. And the thing about the show, it's a movie quiz show. So there's no genre or time period that's off limits. So it's really like all the movies of all time. I stumped the whole audience. There's a point where he asks for a movie that he would like, would be a movie that he would love that he's never seen. Well, I threw out a movie that he had never even heard of, and nobody in the audience had ever heard of it either. And now here's the problem. I saw that movie when I was like 22, so I don't know if it holds up. I don't even know if I was 22. I might have been like 20. I don't know if it holds up today, and I don't know if it was a good movie back then. I just remember that it held my attention the entire time. I went back and read some of the reviews. They were mixed. I think it got like 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb. Now, I don't go to IMDb, and I typically don't even look at movie reviews, but if I'm giving somebody a review, like, you should watch this movie, then I should have done more due diligence. But the object of the goal was to find a movie that he had never heard of. He's seen almost every movie ever created, it seems. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it comes out. But coffee. I lost. Okay, I was going to say I didn't lose. I did lose the game, but I didn't come up empty. The final score was, I had 3, Jeff Dye had 4, Jeff Tate had 5 points. Now, hindsight being 2020, if I had been more comfortable with the format and the games, I would have been able to play better. And I wouldn't have answered certain questions. There was one answer that I gave that was wrong, and I lost the point that I gained early. So I was on the board early, then I lost that point in the same series of game. And then I got a number one question that gave me 3 points later, and then I couldn't build off of that. Now, I had the opportunity to say an answer, but I waited, and Jeff Tate said it. And so he got that point. And if I had gotten that point, I probably wouldn't have answered the next one. Maybe I would have. But I can see a situation where I could have acquired 5 points, possibly even, or 4 points, possibly even 5 points. But it's like a whirlwind. It's like these questions, there's a whole full audience. It's a live podcast at the Columbus Funny Bone. And when I answered my first question right, people cheered, and it was, they cheered for me for being a first timer. And it was a completely different kind of, what are we looking for here? Validation from the audience. It wasn't my audience. It wasn't an audience that was there to see stand-up comedy. I think they probably are more or less fans of Doug Benson or comedy, but mostly movies. These people are like movie savants, people that know all the actresses, like third tier actresses, cameo appearance type stuff. If you just watch or listen, or if you just listen to the podcast, your movie IQ will go up. But if you're like me, while your movie IQ goes up, your self-confidence goes down. It's like I'm learning about these movies, but at the same time, I'm feeling so stupid for not already knowing some of the stuff about these movies. One of the games is called Last Man Stanton. We didn't play it last night, but it's one of the more popular games on the show, where somebody from the audience pitches a name, and they say George Clooney. So then now the game is you try to think of all the movies George Clooney's been in, and once you can't think of a George Clooney movie, you're out. You'd go like The American, Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13. The problem is that sometimes movies have a subtitle, and so getting the full title is important, or you lose points, or you don't get the points, and somebody else can pick them up. So if it was like, if the movie had The in the title, like if you said The Last Man Standing, but the movie was Last Man Standing, you could lose that. So the situation occurred where we were doing a similar kind of a game with Will Smith, but it was called Adjusted for Inflation. We were trying to figure out the best 3 movies that this person has been in based on there based on being like adjusted for inflation. So basically that way Gone with the Wind could compete with Titanic. And I got one with Will Smith where I got the number one answer. So that's where I got my 3 points. But it took me 2 tries to get there. And they let me, which was sweet of them because they didn't have to. And if I had been more competitive, they probably wouldn't have let me get away with it. But it was fun. Listen to the episode. I'll stop yammering about that. There's other stuff to talk about. Most interestingly probably was I ate a handful of mushrooms before I went to go see Planet of the Apes. Now, if you don't know anything about mushrooms, or if you do know about mushrooms, or you're like, what? That seems weird. They don't really affect me, I think, the way they affect some people, but it was definitely a recreational experience, right? But then I get this call like, oh, can you be at the Funny Bone in 20 minutes? And I was like, sure. But I was like halfway through these handful of mushrooms I was going to eat to watch the movie. And I'm thinking to myself like, do I finish? Of course I finish. Why would I waste that? I mean, it's not even going to really affect me till I get off stage. So I thought. They did affect me before I got off stage, but not in a bad way. It was just like a little bit more sensory awareness. So I got up on stage, and the one thing that I could tell was that I couldn't really, and I wasn't sure, but I was like, I feel quiet. And I think it's because the monitor is too soft. It was loud enough, the speaker that comes back to the comedian when you're talking on stage, it's right there on stage. I could hear it okay, but almost needed to be a little bit louder so that I knew I could be louder. I sounded like I was louder to them than I was to myself, but it turns out it was quiet to both of them. Doug noticed it right away when he got on stage and asked them to adjust it. I don't know if they did, but I asked Jeff about it, and he said, yeah, he'd been dealing with it all weekend. And the Columbus Funny Bone has had issues with the sound. I don't know if somebody changes the settings from time to time because somebody yells from the stage, hey, this is too loud, or hey, can you please turn this down a little bit? And then somebody does, or they move too many dials. In any case, I had a great set, did very well, but it was a little bit strange. So then I went and watched the movie, had a great time, came home, went right to bed. No big deal. No freakouts. That's not what mushrooms are like. But what was interesting is that in the last month, I haven't had... well, I did have a glass of wine at a wedding, but it was like sangria or something. I mean, it almost tasted like grape juice, and I didn't even finish it because it started to hurt my stomach. But I haven't had any scotch or any of the drinks that I drink. I haven't had any beer or anything like that in about a month. And that's a big step for me, not because I drink a lot, but because when I do drink, I drink a lot. And it hasn't been a month, let's be honest. It's been about since Mark Norman, since I did the Mark Norman weekend. That was the last drinks I had. Most importantly, if you know, if you're a longtime listener, you know, I don't drink a lot, only when I work, like a good American. And it was getting to the point where I started realizing, like, if I was paying for these drinks, I wouldn't drink this much. And if I could see the bottle that I was drinking from so I knew how much I had been drinking, I probably also wouldn't drink that much. But I think I was pretty much going through a bottle of scotch a weekend that if I worked at a Funny Bone, I'd probably drink the better part of at least one bottle of scotch, depending on who I'm working with. And I don't think it's unprofessional in comedy, but I certainly think it doesn't go unnoticed. And I'd rather be under the radar in that regard. I'm like, well, you ate a bunch of mushrooms and went on stage. Well, that's different because I don't do that every weekend. And I didn't know I was going to be going on stage. Now, I've definitely done it before knowing I was going to go on stage, but not for a Funny Bone show. I think I'm done drinking. And it's weird because it wasn't something that I considered myself like a sport. Like some guys drink a ton and they consider themselves drinkers. Like, oh, that's what I do. I drink. That's my drug of choice for lack of a better phrase. It is not mine, and I think I always thought pot was my marijuana, weeds. I always thought that was my drug of choice, but in the last month or so, I've really started to realize that maybe that's not even true. Really cut back on my self-medicating in all regards, whether it be Advil or Tylenol or sleep aids. I don't take a lot of sleep aids, but sometimes I'll take an Tylenol PM if I want to get to sleep early. You know, if I need to get to sleep before like 9 o'clock because I have to wake up early the next day. Blah, blah, blah. But I started to notice in the last year that I was running out of a sleep aid. Usually, what would happen is I'd buy a bottle of sleep and I'd leave it at a hotel somewhere and just forget about it. But after I started skateboarding and I was sleeping with injuries, I think I got a little bit more used to using them while I was on the road. And in the last few nights, I've had a really hard time sleeping. And I wouldn't even say a hard time. It's not like I was like tossing and turning or upset or feeling tired but not able to sleep. I would sleep for maybe 3 hours a night the last 3 nights, but I'd also get about 2 hour nap in the usually before noon because I was so tired. But that happened again last night. I haven't started to feel tired yet, so I was like, let's record a cast early Monday morning. But I think that that has been a byproduct of the withdrawal of the lack of use of marijuana, which I probably used primarily as a sleep aid. Not knowingly, not like, oh, I got to get to sleep, let me go blaze. But much more of the type of thing like that I would indulge in later in the evening, and then by the time it's wearing off, I'm also feeling tired, and it just kind of worked hand in hand. Well, I didn't notice it, but I just have been curtailing my usage. Not even curtailing, just not in a position or able or thinking or maybe even desiring. Maybe my body is rejecting the idea of indulging in that. But it's been a strange time, guys. It's been a very strange time. I've been writing a lot of new material. I'm performing at the Comedy Death Spot on Tuesday here in Columbus. Hopefully, I'll be able to post a link on my Facebook or Instagram if you're here in Columbus and you want to go see. It used to be at Zeno's Pizza, but now it's somewhere else, and I don't have the location information in front of me. But I'll post it somewhere. Hopefully, you can come out and share your stories of debauchery in your own lives. Bring me some mushrooms. When I was at Doug Loves Movies yesterday, I saw Jeff being very covert. He's like probably the most winning contestant on the show. And the show is similar to At Midnight in that there's no real prize for winning. I think the winner used to get invited back to do the next episode in whatever city he was in, but I didn't hear much of that and or any mention of that. But I've heard from other people, and I've heard Jeff Tate also on episodes where it just seems like he's got a thing for this. Where it's also like the more you do it, the better you would get at the game. You would become more comfortable. You would learn strategies. And I think that's exactly what he had. He went out before the show and found, like, was just kind of looking at people's signs when Doug says, "Show me your signs or your name tags." They make these name tags, which are more like signs and billboards, but they're movie name title puns. So my sign that I grabbed was, Apocalinzi Now. It was like Apocalypse Now, but Lindsay was in the middle in the same font. And then they cropped Doug Benson's face into the image on the front. And then Lindsay's face was off to the side. It was very nice. And I love Apocalypse Now, one of my favorite movies. It wasn't the most elaborate sign, but Jeff had a Pee Wee Herman doll. And well, Jeff Dye had a Pee Wee Herman doll, and Jeff Tate had a Dobby doll from Harry Potter. And so I felt like I should get something. People put a lot of work into these signs. I felt like I wanted to grab one that was, I don't want to say pedestrian, but more of like what I considered a typical, didn't have to be 3D for me. Thank you, Lindsay. Hopefully you're a big fan now and stalking me on the cyberwebs with the rest of your family and friends and acquaintances. The the trick that Jeff Tate pulled was going around kind of looking at the signs and looking for people who had edible marijuana candy attached to their sign or edibles of any kind. Seemingly, he found his victim. Or his victim found him. But while I was walking through looking for my sign, a guy had a pizza. And he lifted the top of the pizza. And there was, it was like a mushroom and cheese pizza. And I was thinking to myself, like, those don't look like the kind of mushrooms I want to eat on a pizza. But it was like these amazing signs. One of them was, like I said, a Pee Wee Herman doll still in the box. It's worth like $300 at like a vintage shop. And lots of just like toys glued to a cardboard. It was crazy. This really, I have to say, was one of the highlights of my comedy career, being on stage with Doug Benson and Jeff Dye and Jeff Tate. Doug Benson was one of my favorite comics before I started doing comedy, which is, once you start doing comedy, you start getting exposed to a ton of comics you've never heard of. And so it's some of my favorite comics are people that aren't even famous. But Doug Benson is definitely famous. And Jeff Dye was on one of the seasons of Last Comic Standing that I started watching when I decided I was kind of thinking about being a comedian, which is really funny because I remember watching and thinking, I'll never be as funny as that guy. And but still, like, watching, like, oh, okay, so this is what it would be like. And I don't think, if somebody had told me then, like, oh, you know, one day you're going to be doing comedy, you know, you're going to be a comedian. You're not going to be on TV or anything, but you'll be a comedian. I might have believed him, but I had no idea. I didn't see the path. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, because I'm going to go do this, and then I'm going to go do this, and then I'm going to take this class, and then I'll get my certificate, and then I'll be able to do comedy. How you started in comedy was just, it would have been easier for me to, like, figure out how I was going to start in being an astronaut, because at least then I knew I needed to go to college and be good at math and science. Being a comic is like, you just got to go start doing it. And how you figure out how to do that is part of the necessary pain of starting. You got to find somebody that knows where an open mic is happening. Which reminds me that while I remember the first people that pointed me to an open mic, they didn't intentionally do it. They were passively talking about somebody in their neighborhood or somebody that they knew from Springfield that had done an open mic. And I'm sitting there watching them with like my jaw to the ground, like, you guys know I want to do comedy, and there's an open mic in this town where we work, and you haven't mentioned it to me, not even just like thought of mentioning it to me. And then they were like, oh yeah, I didn't think of that, but yeah, I guess, yeah, you guess happens here, you know, I don't know, it might be something in the paper about it or whatever. I've told the story on the podcast before, but I went right back to the office and looked it up on our brand new computers. We had just gotten the internet like the day before, and the only thing we were allowed to get was the Weather Channel and the Dayton Daily News. And I got the Dayton Daily News, found the article. Dave Glarden, who is a comic that I had seen before at that point, just when I was scoping open mics and thinking about being a comic. Like, at that point, I had found out where open mics were, but I didn't know how to sign up. And I didn't have any jokes. So that was another big part of it. I hadn't written any material, really. So, found the open mic, find the guy, Dave Glarden. I sent him an email. He sends me an email right back. I'm on in 2 weeks. And then that 2 weeks, I wrote some jokes, I think the day before the show, maybe even the morning of. But I realized later that that whole process of dealing with finding it, the pain of doing it, worrying about it, that's all very intimate and personal. Something, it's like part of the journey that every comic will have to go through, crossing through the threshold of the unknown. I'm glad I did. I've never been happier in my comedy career than I have been in the last few weeks. And I think it's because even the last episode, Letting Go, where I was talking about the anxiety I'd been dealing with, I've been dealing with that my whole life. And I think it's just been recently where I'm 41 years old, and me making it to TV or a movie or anything like that isn't really the goal. It's a byproduct of what I want to be doing, being successful enough that other people want to see me or have me do these other things. I think other people just assume that that's the path of a comedian, is that you want to get as famous as you possibly can. But when I look at the people that I know that are very famous, the things that they have to deal with just to stay sane is, it doesn't seem all that appealing. It's kind of like when you're a pizza delivery guy and you're looking at the manager freaking out, not because anything is happening to him exactly, but because they're responsible for how well things are going. And where I'm at right now, it's like nobody's coming to see me. I mean, I'm not going to say that. I do have people come to see me, but they're my friends and family and an occasional fan that I've made along the way. Most of the shows that I'm in, I'm just a supplement to that, to the whole show. And I like that. I like when there's no expectation for me to be funny and then being like, oh yeah, that guy was funny. That's a great spot. Being a middle act is really the sweet spot of comedy, because even if you don't have a good set, the headliner is probably going to. That's who they came to see. That's whose name is on the ticket and the billboard and the website. So yes, that would be the goal, is to become a headliner, but sometimes you can't get to that point without some TV or movies or credits of that nature or whatever. Bottom line is this, guys. Figure out what it is that you love to do and do it as much as you can so that it doesn't get in the way of the things that you have to do. And increase your happiness and enjoy your life. It's in the grand scheme of the planet, you're here for a very short period of time. And why wouldn't you grab as much happiness as you can? And that's really where I'm at. That's why I quit drinking. I felt like I was making me feel needlessly sick. It slows down all the progress that I put into any amount of working out that I do. It's not my buzz of choice. And I think I'm just now getting old enough to stop doing things just because I can. We don't have to pay for our drinks at comedy clubs usually. And when I do have to pay for my drinks, I drink none or very little. Now, there's been times when the show is so bad, I drank a lot. But even the show I did in Cambridge, Ohio, where I thought it was going to be real bad, turned out to be okay. They gave us money for drinks, and I just put it in my pocket. I didn't have anything to drink, mostly because I needed to have my wits about me. And I felt like that was going to be the easiest way. For other comics, having a few drinks loosens them up. They get on stage and they rip it up, even with a buzz or half drunk, half in the bag. Bert Kreischer doesn't really drink while he's on stage, but he takes a couple beers up with him. So it looks like he's drinking, even though he's really not. But Jay Snyder, our best good friend of the podcast, I've seen him go up in situations where I don't know that I could even stand, but he's much more in shape when it comes to drinking than I am, and just murder for an hour. And you know, some people can, some people can't. I don't want to say that I can't. I definitely have done most of my career drinking at shows, but I think it's the point in my life where I figure out how I do when I'm not drinking. I don't know. We'll see. But my only advice to you is do what makes you happy. If drinking makes you happy, back and have at it. Just don't hurt anyone and don't hurt yourself unless that's what you're into. Maybe you're into cutting. I don't know. I was going to go, I told you last episode that I was going to try to contact Mark Normand and see if I could release the podcast that we recorded for his bonus episode of Tuesdays with Stories. I went back and I listened to it, and I'm not going to ask him for that. If you really want to listen to it, you'd have to become a subscriber to their Patreon page, which I highly recommend that you do. I don't do it yet, but I think I might, because Chris Allen, friend of this podcast and good friend of mine, just did it, and I'd like to hear his. And that's the only way I'd be able to. It's $3 a month for the minimum donation, and you're helping a couple of great comedians live their dream. I hope I become so successful one day that I can charge you guys just to listen to me talk. Now that they have a free podcast once a week, and then they do a bunch of bonus content for this Patreon page, and I'm not mad at that strategy. I think more comedians could benefit from that style of promotion. I just don't have the listenership currently to do that, or the desire to create that much content. I think maybe I do. Maybe I lack the direction. Either way, that was the mic rubbing on my robe. Sitting here in my robe, fleece, feeling sexy. It was a great week, guys. I'm going to keep these short. There might be another one coming this week. There might not be another one this week. But I'll be in Rochester, Minnesota on Friday the 18th, Saturday the 19th of August. Goonies Comedy Club. Please come out if you're in the area and listening. If not, I will be at the Liberty Funny Bone August 31st with Lisa Landry and my best good friend, Jay Snyder. I hope you guys have a successful, happy week, dry from rain, but wet from pleasure. Stand related.
Inside.
you for listening. Download more episodes from the Podbean app. Also available at iTunes and Stitcher or at totallyunrelated.com.